full responsibility.
But I mean, it might have been before Maria got on the board. Right.
But I can't remember the name. Do you remember the name of the item? Mm-hmm. But it was very helpful to us.
Mike, on a couple slides back where you had the debt service transfer increasing by $11 million from what it was in 2011, is that because of the new bonds you anticipate issuing this year?
Another good question. Yeah, it's a combination of the new bonds that were, it really is the new bonds that we're issuing in 2012 for the Move Illinois program, estimated $200 million that we would issue sometime mid-year. There also is included in that number, though. You can see our estimate is 244 for 2011. Also included in that 2012 number is $4 million as a contingency or an allocation for a possible refunding of that synthetic fixed rate debt.
So should we footnote that as well?
Well, kind of questions are the ones that people would ask. But what's important on the debt service, even if we didn't do the new program, our debt service was going to climb about $30 million over the next 4 or 5 years, I think.
In the next couple of years, we do have a little
so that it will start to climb up even outside of the new program. So that will go up, but it probably would be a good idea to, whether you do it in this booklet that's already prepared.
Well, you all are going to be able to sit through this presentation again.
Right.
Well,
but I mean, when you go to your public hearing, it might be good, though, if you had that there.
Right.
Because
it's $11 million.
Just to clarify what the
what
extent,
it is.
The addition.
Right.
Okay.
That's the $4 million of it's really a reserve in case we
do a refund.
Do the refunding, which technically at this moment is out of the money, but if it comes in the money, we do it. So.
And we do speak to that later in the presentation, but I think it would help to have it noted up front here as well.
Another good question.
When Mike tells me I have good questions, I feel it's been a successful day.
you're happy.
Okay. This is a more detailed breakout of the increases and decreases.
Mm-hmm.
I think on page 45 in the budget book, there's kind of a precise explanation for each of these increases and decreases by account.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke to the major dollar changes. So,
one important thing there that is something we've been watching is if you take number two and number three, the 43 and the 27 million, that's the support for employees beyond the salary, where it's almost 70% of every dollar we pay an employee in benefits and support. So as that state increases our contribution to pensions, we could eventually almost be dollar for dollar. It's pretty significant. And the insurance, though, will improve going forward because the employees have agreed to begin paying a portion, I think, in July.
Yeah, I think it might be March, actually. But you're right, and I know that was something that we were very interested in as we, you know, did this last round of negotiations. But, you know, it's also something where it will certainly offset increases, but, you know, as you're saying, it is an area that we have to be very mindful of and one that we have a limited ability to control to some degree. The health insurance more, of course.
Well, the new state pension law, which will affect new hires, will take about 6 to 7 years before you'll see the economic benefit of that, which is good long haul, but short haul we don't get.
We'll have to keep watching it, you're right.
I think... budget continues to be a very, very tight budget. Salaries and wages here increase about 1%. It does accommodate increases in the collective bargaining agreements. But as you can see, if you exclude the credit card fees that we talked about, the increase in the rest of the budget is only about 2.2%. And then if you exclude retirement and credit card fees, it's really the bulk of the equivalent to the bulk of the increase.
Right.
Go on to the next slide. This budget is based on continuing headcount at the current level of 1,598. There are some efforts to target more of the staff toward the management and administration of the Move Illinois program, the capital program, because that effort will increase. But overall, we kept the headcount at the same level as 2011 in this budget.
So what does that mean? Does that mean even with the Move Illinois program, we're still going to stay at the 1598? So most of what we have to gear up for will be contracted out.
Well, we are trying to balance because we pay a premium, obviously, for services that we contract out, and this will be a significant, you know, not unlike the congestion relief program, which was a couple of years of a high level of activity. This is going to be, you know, 10, 12 years of a very high level of activity. So, you know, we'll be looking, you know, at the various hires that we're making and try to, on a case-by-case basis, see whether we would be paying more if we go outside versus taking people on. As Director Morris indicated, you know, we do take on significant costs when we hire individuals, but sometimes the premium that we have to pay through a consulting contract, you know, it doesn't make sense to hire them through a contract, and you're better off, you know, hiring your own employees. So it will be a balance, but we will be absorbing quite a bit of all of any increased hiring from Move Illinois within the current headcount number.
If you look on page 42, we are reducing significantly some toll collector positions that are vacant or that will be vacant, and these extra positions that are coming in basically for the new program. We're trading it off so that, the director and I and Mike talked about this the other day, and, you know, should they privatize or not privatize, but the reality is staying within that headcount is a critical public policy decision, and having the talent in-house to get the project done. So I think this is a good initial start to be able to move the same total number of bodies. Obviously, mm-hmm. dollars will be a little different, and, you know, Christy said they did do an analysis on contract versus inside. So maybe as the program gets bigger next year, we might do more contracting rather than bring it all inside or a pink portion.
Yeah,
inside.
And we're not bringing it all inside, but you're right. We'll, you know, as we scale up, we'll look at the
cost benefit. One of the things that my company's done, because there's a lot of unemployment, is just for example, Paul, in your division, you bring on an engineer as a contracted or 1099 employee, but if you contract him for 9 months or a year, you don't have the benefit issue. But you also aren't paying the premium of the general contractor on each of these labor services. Just as you go through these projects, have you contemplated just hiring? It's really a part-time employee, basically.
We'll have to look with, and Liz maybe can speak to also, you know, the various. You know, some of these employees, even though they are engineers, are covered by collective bargaining agreements or other. So we would, you know, of course have to look. But it is a good point that there might be some, rather than going through, you know, larger companies, maybe there's some, you know, more direct relationships.
I know that Abbott Labs does a lot of that up in like.
Gives you a 6-month interview, or an 8-month interview, which you can't beat.
We'll also have to be careful because the IRS has clamped down on categorizing employees as contract employees. And
when in reality you want them to be full time.
Yeah.
Right. No. But I mean, you're sincere.
But if there was actually a project they were going to work on,
For 10 years.
No.
I'm sure
there's hundreds of projects. There's hundreds of projects. That's a good. Because I think.
For 10 years.
Christy a year ago made a commitment to try to keep us at that 50 or 1600 or below level, so that this balance, this there's a lot of work here to keep us at that number. But that's another tool that's worth exploring, because next year we'd like to try to stay at this number if we can. So it gives us some room.
We'll
I think has been a good effort to take something where we're losing positions and bring them in. You know, in a perfect world we would cut operation expenses, but at least here we're not just fattening up. So.
It's a balance, and as long as you're all aware of, you know, balancing the different costs and also doing a professional job in terms of the Move Illinois, that's a massive program, and sometimes inside employees are more, they're your hires, they're your who you depend on as opposed to an outside consultant, because somebody has to oversee the consultant.
I was going to say, Paul still needs to supervise the consultant, so he needs help there, too.
So it's a lot of weighing. And I don't know if, I mean, you already have like a cadre of professionals that are hired as consultants, like the PMO, the
engineer,
some of these people that play that role, but I don't know how much you would have.
We were focusing on that. I mean, the first step was we were looking at, are there long-term functional needs that, you know, would make sense to bring in-house, because they're not going to be just for 6 months. They're going to be for the whole 15-year period. For instance, you know, in our diversity unit, mm-hmm. we have like one dedicated tollway person right now, and she's supported by some help from consultants, but it makes sense that, you know, we should give her some additional support throughout the whole life of the remainder of the program. And we did a rough calculation, and there is a difference because we do pay the premium, like Christy said, for consultants, the overhead and the multiplier.
Yeah.
And but the difference between our multiplier and their multiplier result, we calculated it's about $1 million to us over, you know, the life of Move Illinois. So we're looking primarily initially at just the long-term functional needs and deciding whether or not we want to have a tollway person do that, or if we want to contract that out and consider the cost savings. At temporary employees, we could look at that. That's you know, something.
You can always convert them.
Yeah.
You get a chance to take a look at it.
And new hires do have a probationary period,
uh-huh.
but you're right, we can take
yes.
a look at that as another tool as well, particularly because there will be some, you know, contained, I think, projects within this that might benefit.
Abbott and Baxter, those all up there in Lake County,
yep.
they all do that.
Yeah.
All
the time. It's a little different with the private company because you still have the,
yeah.
the
yeah.
laws regarding
yeah.
hiring and all that personnel. It's not the... That's simple to do the private model. Have being in the public sector, I know. Okay.
And we have funded historically out of the capital program those staff that provide, that are dedicated to program management and administration of the capital program. So, you know, there will be an increase in the number of headcount that will be working on the program, and that'll be reflected in the capital budget as well. But that they're all part of that 1598 total.
Okay.
Okay. Next. With respect to the capital program, about the 2012 budget includes approximately $241 million for the Move Illinois program, including $214 million for existing system needs and $27 million for system expansion. We'll get into more of the detail of those projects. The congestion relief program, $291.76 million for other capital. So a total capital program for 2012 of about $607 million budgeted. With respect to the construction projects in the capital program, in the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway, there's $76 million to begin design for reconstruction and widening of I-90 from the Kennedy to I-39, and for temporary shoulder widening from Randall Road to I-39, that in anticipation of our maintenance of traffic needs to accommodate construction in 2013. There's $20.7 million to complete roadway rehabilitation on I-90 from Illinois Route 53 to Newburgh Road, and to begin design for reconstruction and widening of 6 mainline bridges. And there's $2.1 million for design and construction for ramp pavement reconstruction on I-90 at U.S. Business 20.
Okay, some of these numbers aren't on the slide.
But the
98.
The book has.
Okay.
The
book has.
The book has.
Okay.
Could you stop for presentation?
Oh, yeah,
you
when you're reading that, it's
okay. Uh-huh.
For the public, they might be.
We can put those on.
Yeah, good
trouble. Okay. The Tri-State Tollway totals $156.4 million. There's about $112 million for roadway resurfacing and bridge repairs, which on the Central Tri-State from 95th Street to Balmoral Avenue. There's about $16.6 million for ramp pavement reconstruction at 8 locations between I-55 and Illinois Route 173. Yeah, there's $8 million for diamond grinding and pavement resurfacing from the Eden Spur to Half Day Road on the Tri-State, and $17.7 million for relocation of Dixie Creek to begin the first phase of construction at the new interchange at the Tri-State and 57. On the Reagan Memorial Tollway, it's about $90.5 million total. It's allocated to fund construction and rehabilitation of pavement and bridges between Illinois Route 251 and Illinois Route 56, as well as reconstruct and widen the Reagan from Illinois Route 56 to Deer Path Road. On the veterans, it's $23.7 million. $18.7 million is allocated to fund resurfacing a portion of the pavement and collector distribution roadways on the Veterans Memorial from I-55 to Army Trail Road. And there's $5 million to provide underpass lighting replacement on I-355 under I-88. Next. System-wide, we have $133.3 million in the budget for system-wide projects. We missed a slide, didn't we? Okay, system expansion. Sorry, I didn't speak to that. I was wondering. System expansion needs are $27 million, about $12 million allocated for the 294-57 interchange to fund construction of new embankments and bridge piers to lengthen the 294 bridges over 147th Street. And these are the first of several construction packages, which will help facilitate the opening of the Memphis Movement ramps by the end of 2014. And there's $14.9 million allocated for Elgin O'Hare West Bypass to fund design and construction for widening of the bridges on the existing portion of the Elgin O'Hare Expressway. And this work is scheduled in advance of mainline pavement widening.
And this is in addition to the Illinois Department of Transportation still has some funding in the earmark that they received, the federal funds they received for this project. So this is some portion of getting us started, but there's still some spending going on from that. Those funds, correct, Paul?
Yeah, and that is primarily going to be for our upfront design efforts. They're going to be pursuing their record of decision, hopefully going to get it before the end of 2012, and then we can start actual construction following that.
Okay, now we go, yes. Thanks, Maria. System-wide, $133.3 million, $47 million allocated in 2012 to reconstruct or build the interchange at I-90 and Route 47. $12 million for bridge improvements, including the tri-level bridge ramp rehabilitation project at 294 and the Jane Addams, which will start in 2011 but continue through 2012. There's $28 million for system-wide pavement improvements, $24 million for program support. Program support includes, you know, the traffic and consulting engineers. In this case, it includes the PMO, the staff that we mentioned earlier that would be dedicated to administration and management of the program, real estate services and land acquisition services, and some design upon request contracts, I believe. Okay, go to the next page. Other capital projects, there's a long list beginning on page 99 in the budget book. We did try to kind of summarize these for you. Program support costs in other capital include $24 million, and that would include, as we mentioned, the traffic engineers, the consulting engineer. Actually, we put ERP in this category because it's necessary to kind of support not only the capital program, but the entire operation of the system. There's the pavement monitor, ARA, I think is the contractor that does pavement measurement and monitoring. So those types of system-wide support services are funded in that category. Have $17 million of technology. That includes almost $8 million for transponders. It includes some disaster recovery funding. It includes some funding for upgrades and maintenance of our network. Building repairs and maintenance at the facilities in the central administration building. $8 million for roadway vehicle equipment and fleet. About $5.6 million of that, I think, is actually new funding. Some of it was unexpended from 2011 that we've carried over to this year. Intelligent transportation systems includes our traffic incident management systems, includes dynamic message signs, it includes cameras on our system, ramp queue detection for traffic control purposes, and then we have miscellaneous roadway repairs and maintenance of $4.3 million. Go to the next slide. So, kind of coming back to then debt service, because we will have new bonds issued in 2012 to help support the capital program. The debt outstanding as of January 1, 2012, after we make our principal payment due on January 1, will be $3.96 billion. As we mentioned earlier, debt service is $259.9 million. That's actually a little higher than the transfer number that we indicated earlier, because we receive a subsidy on our Build America bonds, and we have some support costs that are included in the transfer. So you need to reduce this. If you reduce this number by the Build America bond subsidy, and then you add back in some of the support costs that we need, remarketing, liquidity, the total amount we need to allocate from our own funding is $255 million. As you can see, about $200 million in interest expense, $56 million in principal, and then there's $4 million contingency for restructuring the synthetic fixed rate bonds, and as we noted earlier, $6 million of that interest expense is allocated for new debt. Estimated net debt service coverage, our target has been to be at or near 2x coverage. That's been a key component of our presentation to the credit rating agencies with respect to maintaining what's a very favorable credit rating, AA minus. It will be 1.8 times in 2011. Will increase in 2012 to 2.9, but as we continue to issue more debt to fund the Move Illinois program, that ratio will come back down near 2x. Okay. Next, and finally, as we mentioned at the start of the meeting, public hearings and an open house to be held in November to take public comment and have public review of this of the tentative budget. I think, I don't know if these are firm, I think they are November 15th at 6 o'clock. The Central Administration Building would be the public hearing, and an open house on November 16th from 3 to 6 at the Lincoln Oasis.
And we will be webcasting the public hearing again, correct?
Yeah, I hear this year we project an audience that will exceed the World Series.
That would be quite something over last year's audience if that were the case, if we had that kind of growth.
Are you making phone calls?
No, it's just that people are saying the Cardinals and Rangers aren't going to draw real well. So.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Any questions? No? Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay. So then I think we need to approve the proposed budget.
I'll make a motion that we recommend the budget be approved by the full board.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
So the proposed budget is approved for consideration by the full board. Next item, then we'll go to the finance agenda, Mike.
Thank you.
So we have, let's do number one.
Finance has three additional items before the committee this morning. First item is extension of the property insurance program for a 90-day period from December 1, 2011 through February 28th. I think that's really February 28th. For the amount of $169,995. The current carriers or the current coverages were procured through an RFP process, which was conducted in 2007 with the policy year that began in November of 2007. That had an initial 1-year term for the policy and 4 annual renewals. We're encouraged to not do the renewal for the last year, but go out and seek new quotations, additional quotations for that coverage. We are in the process of conducting that procurement. It will not be completed by December 1, so we're requesting an extension of the property insurance program for that 90-day period. What the insurance program does, this program provides replacement cost coverage for our bridges, our buildings, and facilities of the tollway, subject to a self-insured retention or deductible loss, I believe it's $250,000, $500,000?
A million dollars
for the retention, sorry.
A million? That sounds about right.
It does cover for protection for loss of toll revenue by reason of damage to our facilities. These policies cover bridges and structures and facilities. They don't cover the roadway specifically because of the likelihood that a large amount of significant damage couldn't be due by one event on the roadway. This renewal would be done through the brokerage firm of Mesro Insurance Services, partnering with VEP Insurers Review Services. And it's at a premium that is very close to, although I can't get it to match precisely, the pro rata premium of the last 12 months.
So move, with the understanding we are going through the bid process. I think this is a good way to allow us to do bidding and yet keep our back door protected. So I move we approve this as presented.
Second. Yeah, well, obviously we do need to maintain the insurance. And right. The only thing I would note for the record that the end date is the public agenda note said it was through February 29th, and it's actually through February 28th.
I think it's
so.
Is it a leap year?
Yeah. It's a 90-day extension, so okay. Somebody missed the date. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Okay, item one under finance is approved. Item two, Mike.
Item two is a recommendation by finance to have a 1-year renewal of our underwriting and remarketing agent pools, which currently expire November 4th, 2011, subject to approval by CMS and the state's CPO, Chief Purchasing Officer. These pools were established pursuant to an RFP process conducted in 2009, had initial term of 2 years with 2 1-year renewal options. Similar to the property extension, we are planning to conduct a new procurement for underwriting and other investment banking services in the coming months to address the needs created by the new Illinois program, but we wish to continue the existing pools until that process is completed.
So move.
Second.
Okay, item two under finance has been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Item two is moved to the consent agenda. We go item three. Yeah.
This is the refunding?
Yeah, the refunding. Item three.
Item three is related in a way to item two, but it's the extension of the refunding bond authorization that was first approved by the board in January of 2010. It was approved for a 1-year period in 2010. It was extended until November 4th of 2011, which is when our pool expired. at the start of this year, actually December of last year. The resolution that's being extended, the extension would also extend the team that was assigned to do that refunding, again, subject to a successful renewal of the pool.
I would move to approve this, and I think Mike has sent a note around, and maybe for the meeting Monday you can have that available. at this moment, these are not in the money to refund, but at least for the first 6 months of the year, we'd like to keep the door open. If they fall into the money, we can do that. So this basically just is a placeholder, and it's the same team, and I understand they monitor on a weekly basis or so from Bill.
We have been at, yeah.
Where do we have to get the form of these?
I don't have the numbers with
yeah,
me.
I do have those. The recommendation of the financial advisory was that we should target the refunding if it's about 50 basis points above our current all-in costs, because that's I believe, an appropriate trade-off for
getting out
to
of
fix the debt,
right?
And for the 1998 series, that means that all-in costs would be a refunding target of about 5.5%, about 5.3% for the 2007 A bonds, and about 5.1% for the 2008 A. And again, that's an all-in cost, so that includes not only the cost of issuance of the new debt, but the cost of terminating the swaps.
And we're about, what, 30, 40 basis points off at this point?
Right.
And maybe you could put a little summary note in our package for all the board members so they know that you're monitoring this on a monthly basis and that we do have a target based on the advice AC Advisory gave us.
Yeah, I'd asked Mike some questions on it, and he sent me some answers, so if you could just make those available for the meeting and to anybody that needs them, because that'd be good.
So the $4 million comes close to covering that, not quite. We're at $570 million.
It'd be enough to get us through this.
Yeah.
And again, this is more for policy to have less swap exposure in light of the difficulty.
Absolutely.
Marie had a special committee last year where I think that we struggled to get enough liquidity, and we're fine for 3 years, but that could be a struggle again in 3 years. So this would just give us better management.
The markets are very volatile these days.
Yes. As we all know, as we watch our 401k slowly float off into the sunset. Did I move on this? Or
you move item three?
So, second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
So item three is moved and approved. Item four, we already approved under the finance.
We did.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Engineering has 11 items today to present. Item one is a construction contract award. It's for signed fabrication and installation. It's a task order type contract. It will involve work throughout our whole system, and then we use this contract to support our own efforts that we conduct with our tollway sign shop. The first task under this contract is going to be critical, and it involves a replacement and update of all of our tollway pricing signage, which is distributed throughout the system. We're going to do that very quickly, and it's going to require a significant work effort. We did get three bids on this project. Ward is recommended to GFS Fence, Guardrail, and Signage, who was the low bidder at $943,954.50, and they've also committed to meeting our DB goal, and the bid that we received was within our budget.
So move.
Second.
All those